To order this meeting of the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. If you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
No preservatives, don't grind more than you're going to eat.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Continued.
Yes. Okay, I will take attendance. Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Terry?
Here.
Commissioner Pike has another obligation this evening. Commissioner Desjardins is not here. Commissioner Pinias?
Here.
Commissioner Kobeluk?
Here.
Commissioner Summers?
Here.
Commissioner Gillette is not here this evening, and Chairperson Lundy is here. Okay. We will not be seating any alternates this evening, as all alternates are now commissioners. There is one change to the agenda, and that is to move old business item 8A, 25 sub 2, to right before item 14 to allow for the applicant's representative to get here from another meeting. Would anyone like to make a motion to move that?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it's been moved. Any other additions or changes to the agenda?
Just the public hearing.
Oh, yes. Item 7, public hearing. There is an extra word that says none. There is, in fact, a public hearing this evening, so we'd like to remove the word none.
Motion?
Okay.
To remove? None?
I'll second it.
Okay, first and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Next, we'll move on to minutes and the approval of the April 22nd, 2025 regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the minutes are approved. Next, we'll move on to item 6, which is remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda. So at this time, if you have something that is not related to an item that is already on the agenda, you are invited to come forward and make a comment. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the public hearing section of this evening. We have 25 sub 3 Silver Falls Road 001-007-00A, which is a four-lot re-subdivision. The owner applicant is Daniela Jerge. Thank you. The application was submitted April 10th. A public hearing was scheduled for this evening. I will entertain a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the public hearing is now open. At this time, I'll invite the applicant's representative to come forward and give us a presentation if you have one.
For the record, my name is Bob Luke. I'm an engineer with CLA Engineers. And with me tonight is the applicant, Daniela Jerge. We are waiting for wetland approval, so I'm just going to give you a brief overview. You can't act on this tonight. The parcel is situated in the southwest corner of town. You can see that my property.
The southerly boundary abuts the town of Waterford, and it has access on Silver Falls Road. It's in an R80 zone. Sheet one, it's the existing condition survey map. The boundary's in yellow. It's rectangular in shape. There are wetlands highlighted in blue. And the parcel itself has a ridge more or less in the middle where half it slopes to the east to a wetland complex and the other half slopes to the west to a pond and wetland complex that eventually gets to a 24-inch culvert under Silver Falls Road. This sheet I just pulled out of the drainage report, just to give you an idea where the parcel falls in the overall drainage watersheds. The easterly portion of the parcel, which is, I don't know if I told you this, parcel is about 20 acres. The easterly portion is about 8 acres, and it's in the lower part of a 250-acre watershed of undeveloped land. The westerly portion of the parcel, which is 10 to 12 acres, is in the lower portion of a 130-acre of undeveloped land watershed also. So you can kind of surmise that the four-lot development will have a not much of an impact in these watersheds. Sheet two shows the lot splits. It's a four-lot subdivision with a common driveway. This sheet has colored easements that allow for each successive lot to access to their land. For example, the far lot has access to the red, purple, orange, and green easement, and then as you get further in, there's one less access easement for each lot. In addition to this subdivision, there's provisions for an emergency access road in blue to undeveloped land that the applicant owns in Waterford. Just to go over that briefly, our client owns Aces High RV Park in East Lyme, and she's in the early stages of planning for an expansion. And this is a provisional item. If she's able to get the permit necessary for the expansion, she's, as I said, early stages. She has a text amendment coming up in July that needs to be done first. Right now, Waterford doesn't allow RV parks. So that's the first stage. But the idea is that any type of expansion will want some type of emergency access. Access will still be in East Lyme off Route 161, but preliminary discussions with fire and police say that having an alternate emergency access is a good idea. This would always be a gated access. But that's what's proposed in blue. Sheet three shows the development of the first two lots. We have a wetland crossing at the very beginning near Silver Falls Road. That's what we're in the process of getting a permit for. As you can see, there's two houses proposed. Emergency access road proposed outside of wetland areas. Sheet four shows the back two lots. There's an overlap, so it shows the second lot also. We've addressed engineer comments, the first round of comments. The engineer had a second round of comments, which were minor administrative in nature. We were waiting for the second round of wetland comments before we addressed that, so we'd come back with one set of plans. Uncas Health sent us a letter back saying the lots are acceptable for septics and wells. And I think that's about it.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. DeLuca? Commissioner Longton?
Has the town of Waterford been advised of this because the project abuts us the town line?
Yes.
We sent it out as did the applicant sent it out to them, and we've received no comments from planning and zoning of Waterford. Stacy did receive comments back from Waterford Inland Wetlands, which she presented to the Inland Wetlands Commission, but they have not given us any comments on this application. We also, by regulation, had to send it out to CCOG, and they did respond to us that it shouldn't have an impact, intermunicipal impact, but Waterford hasn't sent anything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay. Meredith, what else should we know?
We did notice the public hearing in the day on May 14th and May 21st, which we have to do by Connecticut General Statute. Stacy and I did a site walk, a partial site walk from the road. We didn't go all the way up. Those pictures are attached to your staff report to give you a little bit of an idea of where it is on Silver Falls. three of the four proposed lots, as Mr. DeLuca said, are interior lots, which our regulations require that the front yard and the lot area be 1.5 times the minimum for the zone, which they are. They meet those regulations. They also meet the regulation of a 25-foot wide access strip for each of those and the shared driveway for all three of those. As he stated, the parcel has wetlands, and we're waiting for the wetlands application to be approved, so PZC will not be able to act on this application tonight. Per our town road standards, shared driveways can only serve 5 lots, so I did ask the applicant to verify that emergency access would be to a 5th lot, which is in Waterford, and they're not proposing to split that into additional lots, so it would meet our regulations by serving only 5 lots. And the applicant has also requested a waiver from Public Works Director relating to the paving of the entire proposed common driveway. It's in section 130D.2 of the Montville Road Standards. Our commission cannot enforce those road standards. However, they did request that of the Public Works Director. I asked that he let us know what his response was so that we would have it for the application, and I have not heard to date. I had 4 technical review comments that still need to be addressed, 3 of which, the first 3, the applicant is requesting that they be a condition of approval. It's some legal documents, a legal description of each proposed lot, provide the easement documents for review and approval by the town attorney, and to provide the shared driveway agreement for review and approval by the town attorney. It's not unusual for applicants to ask to do that after an approval. It holds up the process a little bit on the back end for them, but should it not be approved or something change during a condition of approval, they don't have to pay the attorney twice to work on that for them. So that's not an unusual request. The other one is a minor changing some wording on the plan. I'm sure Bob will take care of that. It was reviewed by the town engineer. Those comments are attached in your packet. The fire marshal's office had no additional comments. The building department, no adverse comments from the building official. Uncas Health's comments are in your packet. I referred it out to Public Works on April 11th and have not received any comments back. The police department said the Montville Police Department's comments was addressed, and we have no additional comments at this time. The assessor provided addresses and parcel ID numbers for each of the 4 lots, should this get approved. As I stated to Commissioner Longton, it was referred out to CCOG, and they responded on May 14th. Based on my review of the materials provided, the proposed subdivision application is not likely to have a negative intermunicipal impact. And Town of Waterford was referred on April 11th, and they have not responded.
Thank you. Now, if I remember correctly, you recently approved a map, a zoning change for the Silver Falls area.
We did a zoning change over for Cricket's Corner.
Okay. I thought there was one where they asked for it to be more rural.
That was in the town of East Lyme, yes.
I see. Okay.
The 95 corridor, yes.
Okay, so that doesn't impact this.
Based upon the Town of Montville inspection report, I have a question regarding the watershed.
Yep.
There are photographs in there which show water is... Is that a drainage ditch or is that a stream? And if it's a stream, is it wet year-round?
That is wetlands, and they have the whole frontage on the road has been identified by their soil scientist, Bob Russo, as wetlands. And that's why they're going before the Wetlands Commission to get the crossings put in for the driveway. But they went on, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but they went to the smallest area for wetlands to do the driveway so that they have the least impact on the wetlands.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
The house will be outside of the wetlands on that lot.
Right. Understood.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just one. I didn't see anything on here about the addressing to comply with the town ordinance. Well, generally on these, you know, need numbers at the street and then where each splits off, you know, some
yes.
type of permit placard as
that
for addressing.
That is an ordinance for that
mm-hmm.
through the fire marshal.
Right.
Did not comment.
So, as I mentioned earlier, this is a public hearing. It's been noticed as such, and even though the commission is not going to make their decision this evening, we're still going to allow the public to speak. So at this time, we'll ask those in favor and opposed to the application to come forward and make comment. I'll ask in favor and then opposed three separate times to give everyone an opportunity to make their comments. So we will begin. Anyone that is in favor of the application that would like to come forward and speak may do so now. Hearing none, I'll ask for anyone opposed. In favor? Opposed? In favor? And opposed? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
We can close the public hearing, but we would continue our discussion, right?
You got to keep it open because you don't have the approval yet from IWC.
Okay. So I will entertain a motion to continue the public hearing until our next meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the public hearing will be continued until our next meeting. As I mentioned previously, we will not be making our decision this evening. We'll also be doing that next week. We are moving on to old business. However, we've moved item 8A to the end of the agenda, so we will move on to new business. Item 9A is 25 Site 4, 393 Butlertown Road, 005-027-004 for an off-season equipment storage facility. The owner applicant is 393 Butlertown Road, LLC. The application was submitted on April 24th and received May 27th, and a decision is required by the end of July. Meredith, do we have a representative here to make?
Yes, we do. Okay. Alan Bartlett with Green Sites is here.
Okay.
I think I turned it back on. My name is Ellen Bartlett. I'm with Green Site Design, and I'm representing the applicant here tonight. As was said, this site is located at 393 Butlertown Road. It consists of 2.175 acres. There's no wetlands on the site or adjacent to it, so we're using the whole site. There was a previously approved site plan for this property. So we're asking for a modification of the approved site plan. There's also been a violation on this site. The previous owner was using it for a landscaping site, and there's a lot of random stockpiles all over the site when it was purchased. So the present owner has been working since they purchased it to clean this up. They've been taking out all these random stockpiles, and they're getting it down to the original grade. And that's what we're here now for a modification. It's a slightly bigger building. It's 16,000 square feet. And the applicant's proposing to use it for off-season storage. It's zoned light industrial, which allows under section 12.2.5, warehousing and interior and exterior storage. So it's an allowed use for this site. This is going to be used by B&W Paving and Landscaping. And what they're going to do is in the summers, the first half of the year, including the summers, they'll store all their plowing equipment in this building. And then over the winter, the other half of the year, they're going to store their line painting equipment, which is very sensitive to the elements and needs to be stored inside, and some of their other paving equipment will be stored on the site. They'll also store some of the off-season equipment in the rear of the building, and there may be some in the front because there's probably never going to be more than two employees here at this site. They don't need the 16 parking spaces that were provided, so there probably will be some equipment stored there at times. The drainage system has been designed to provide for zero increase in flows. There's actually a slight decrease in flows leaving this site. We're proposing a oil separator and then a stormwater quality basin to treat the flows from the site. These plans and the drainage reports have all been reviewed by your consulting engineer. We've addressed all his comments, and we have a letter saying that we've addressed all of his comments and concerns. The site will have an on-site septic system and well. The project's been reviewed by Uncas Health District. We have their conditional approval, and we've addressed the small comments they had as part of their conditional approval. During construction, there'll be two temporary sedimentation basins, one in the front that is purely temporary. It'll just be there during construction. And then where the water quality basin is going to go, there will be a temporary sedimentation basin there also. It will be dug down to 4 feet above the permanent water quality basin to preserve the soils underneath it for when we make it the permanent water quality basin. These two temporary basins provide wet and dry storage volume to meet and exceed the requirements of 2024 Connecticut guidelines for soil and sedimentation control. Likewise, the permanent water quality basin meets and exceeds the post-construction requirements for the Connecticut Stormwater Quality Manual, the new ones. Both of them are 2024. DEP came out with new manuals. We have to change the way we do things a little bit, but we did. And so this site plan meets all the requirements of DEP. We've addressed all the comments from Uncas Health Department. We've addressed staff comments. And now I guess I'm just here for questions if anybody has any.
Any questions from Ms. Bartlett?
Yes, where is the oil separation facility in relation to the well?
Okay, the well is located right here. The oil separator is located over here.
And how far apart are they?
It's about 120 feet apart.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Bartlett? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Meredith, what should we know?
So attached to your staff report are several inspection reports, one that Stacy did in January when the previous owner owned it and the violation was going on, one that Stacy and I did on March 28th together after the previous owner bought it and started cleaning up the site, and then another one we did together on May 2nd. As Ms. Bartlett stated, this property's been in violation since approximately 2018, and once it was purchased by the current owner in the end of February of 2025, they started working right away to correct the violation, which we greatly appreciate. They've moved most of the debris and stockpiles. It looks a lot better. I gave you the whole background in your staff report. I'm not going to read through it all. It is in the light industrial zone, so the use that they're proposing is allowed, as Ms. Bartlett stated. The parking lot area for the project is under 80,000 square feet, so our zoning regulations do not require any landscaping. However, they are providing a landscaping schedule as shown on sheet 2, and that's going to provide screening for the adjacent lot, which although it's zoned light industrial, it's currently a residential use, so that will provide some screening for the residential use of that property. The applicant does not propose any signage at this time. They are aware that should they change and need signage, they will come back for a zoning permit. I did ask the applicant about the approximately 19 foot by 20 foot area shown on the floor plans that were provided, as well as the 19 by 35 foot mezzanine area. And they indicated the lower level area will be used as an entrance and equipment record storage, and the above area is going to be used for the storage of small equipment. So due to that, that increased the square footage of the building, so we needed a 0.6 increase of a parking space. They would then be required 16.6 spaces, so it would go up to 17. They're showing 16. Our regulations do allow that if the engineer can show that they won't need those, and the consulting engineer for the town agrees that they could go with less. As Ms. Bartlett stated, they're only going to have a couple employees there at a time. Should the use change in the future and it's going to affect the parking, they have to come back before you. That's right in our regulations, so I feel that it's perfectly fine to approve this with 16 parking spaces. As was stated, they're also planning on potentially using some of those front spaces for some equipment storage. I don't think that that's going to be an issue at all, because there won't be daily employees in and out of this building. Our zoning regulations state how wide driveways shall be, and they are, so they should be 30 feet wide at the right-of-way line and 55 feet wide, no more than 55 feet wide at the curb line. Greater widths can be permitted by the commission if they indicate why. I asked the applicant, because they have a 65 foot wide at the curb line. Large trucks need to get in and out of there. Makes sense. You don't want them going on the wrong side of the road to make the swing. They did state that in all of their documents, so we have that for the record. I spoke with Public Works about it, and he doesn't have an issue with that. They've addressed all of my technical review comments. It was referred out to Boundaries as the consulting engineer. They've addressed all of Boundaries' comments. It was referred out to the fire marshal, who had no comments at this time. Buildings comments are attached. Uncas Health's comments are attached. Public Works, it was referred out on April 25th. I did not receive any comments back. I referred it out to the police department, and they commented that they have no additional issues at this time with the project. I did give you a suggested motion if you should choose to approve it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions for Meredith? No. As Meredith mentioned, there is a suggested motion for favorable approval in the packet. The conditions do not need to be read into the record because they are already part of the record on the town's website. So would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve with conditions, application number 25, site 4, for the construction of an off-season equipment storage facility and site improvement at 393 Bartlettown Road, 005-027-004, in accordance with the Montville zoning regulations and the application supporting documentation and a plan set entitled Off-Season Equipment Storage, 393 Bartlettown Road, Oakdale, Connecticut, prepared by Greensite Design LLC, dated March 2025, revised May 13th, 2025. Conditions. Under general conditions, one, this approval is for the specific use, site, and structures identified in the application.
Commissioner Lawton, sorry to interrupt you. You don't have to read those into the record.
Okay.
You can if you'd like to, but you don't
have
to.
That's all right.
Okay. So a motion has been made.
I'll second.
Okay. First and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Terry. Any discussion? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Pinias?
In favor.
Commissioner Kobolak?
In favor.
Commissioner Summers?
In favor.
And Chairperson Lundy, in favor. Okay, the application is approved. Thank you. Next, we will move on to new business item 9B, which is 24 Site 3, 1492 Route 85, 005-027-000, which is a site plan renewal per zoning regulation section 4.11.11.3.2.C. The owner applicant is Jeff Daniels, and the application was submitted on May 2nd. It was received May 27th, and a decision is required by the end of July. Meredith, we don't have the applicant or the representative here this evening.
Ellen is here.
Double duty. Okay. What do you have for us, Ms. Bartlett?
I didn't put the plans on a board because this is a previously approved site plan. Because of the use, it's required after 1 year to come back for a renewal, and that's why we're here. We're asking it to be renewed for 5 years at this point, which is what the regulations allow. He's been working out there, but I don't think there's been any issues that I'm aware of. The other thing we're asking for is when it was approved, he owns the property adjacent, 1502, and one of the conditions was that after a year, he put a permanent barrier between the two properties. We'd like to at least ask that to be extended for another year because he's still working, moving the material over, processing it, and he's grading 1502, bringing the materials over to 1492, and processing the material there and hauling it off. I'd also like to make a request. When this was approved, I didn't really understand the requirement that if he owns both properties, why he can't go back and forth between the two properties. And since then, you've approved a property, 2 Enterprise Lane and 8 Enterprise Lane, owned by the same property owner, and he was allowed to put a driveway in between the two buildings to go back and forth between. If you own both properties, I think you should be allowed to go back and forth between your properties. It should not have to be blocked off in the future. But at the least, we'd like to get an extension of that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Any questions for Ms. Bartlett? No? Okay, thank you. Meredith?
I did attach some pictures of our last inspection out there. May 2nd, Jeff was on site, he was working on it. We did have that 1 year, so he would need an extension of the 1 year. If he were to modify it, I believe that he would have to come back before the commission for the modification of that. If we could give maybe some direction on that, if the staff and commission were in favor of letting him keep that modified so that he wouldn't be wasting his time and money going for a modification if you were against it. Like Ms. Bartlett said, we've allowed it on other properties. There would need to be easements like we did at 2 and 8 Enterprise. As far as renewing this, it's 1 year for anything with crushing and processing, and then you have to come back in for a 5-year renewal. So this is just kind of administrative paperwork for our regulations, and the other was because it says right on the plans that after 1 year he had to block that off. Well, he hasn't gotten his CZC and CO to use the property yet, so making him block it off at this point, he's not done with the construction. I think it would be more than fair to give him another year and then think about potentially allowing for that modification to let him use the two properties. He'd be keeping.
Are you saying let him use it now, let him use the property now, go between, or wait, make him wait a year?
Right now,
yeah,
you could give him an extension to not put up the Jersey barriers, yep, to go between. Right now,
yeah,
he can go between while it's under construction.
Okay.
But that last approval, I don't know if you were here last year, I'm sorry, in July.
No, that's okay.
In July of 24, he only had until July 9th of 2025, and then he had to put physical barriers there no matter if he was done or not. It was kind of a heated discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So he's asking for at least a 1 year extension to July 9th of 2025 so that he can do the construction on that and go back and forth between the
fair
two. Then if this commission feels that he should be able to come in for a modification to use it in the future and not lock it off, we should give a little direction to his engineer as to if that would be something that this commission would entertain.
I would say if we can take a look at the minutes from last year and determine why we made that determination, and just, I know that there's materials in there, but
I didn't give you the staff report from last year.
If we could sort of do a comparison between what we said last year and the Enterprise Drive addresses that you referenced, as long as it's not an egregious difference, then I would be in favor of encouraging the applicant to file a modification.
Yeah, I think the properties on Enterprise were, there was a lease agreement that was filed with it, whereas this one did not, right.
And Jeff would have to do an easement agreement.
Right.
To himself.
If there's a reasonable way within the regulations where we can make this happen, let's encourage it. Okay.
I think that any time you're on a state highway and you can minimize the state curb cuts and traffic onto the state highway and off to get into two different lots, I think an adjoining connection is a wiser way to build it.
Yeah. Curb cut on 85 for $14.92.
Yep.
He goes out onto Sacchitello.
Okay.
There's an easement through the go-kart place.
Okay.
But again, personally, I think this would get some of the traffic at 1502 off of Route 85 as a truck driver.
I think it makes a good sense to allow for it, providing
they could cut out that way, get in that way.
Either do it through an easement right away in case the two properties are sold by different owned by different owners down the road. But at a minimum, I'd be in favor of giving him his 1 year extension without blocking it off. And when that comes in for renewal, I think it should be considered to give him the interlot connection.
Or if he wants to do a modification prior to that, we'd be open to that as well. Commissioner Longton.
Madam Chair, is it appropriate to make a motion for discussion at this point?
Yes.
For the purposes of engaging in a discussion, I'd like to make a motion that we remove the restriction for the barrier permanently.
I can second that.
Okay, any discussion?
Now we can discuss it. I think it's unfair, especially in light of the fact that that similar properties have not had to deal with this restriction at all. You know, I think it's unfair for us to impose that on this person.
If my memory serves me, the last time this was discussed, we were provided with the reasons why, as presented, this went against regulations. However, I don't believe there were many creative alternatives offered either, and it sounds like perhaps there is a way that we can do this within regulations. So I would agree with you.
I remember
staff is not opposed to them using these.
No, this was, you know, for the purpose of being able to have discussion on the record, we had to have a motion and a second. So I recall the original discussion from a year ago, and I was the one that brought up a thing about the wheelbarrows going back and forth, if you recall. I was opposed to the barrier at that time, and I still am. I think it's very unfair. And I think it is a reasonable accommodation within the regulations to get rid of that barrier, is my opinion, and I'd be interested to hear the opinions of the other members of the commission.
I'm in agreement with that.
I agree with you.
You know, I think we have to look at the regulations because there probably was a reason, and the properties on Enterprise were filed with an easement, if I recall correctly, whereas this was not. So that might be the sticking point within the regulations.
I would agree with you. Obviously, we made a decision based on the information that we were given. I think that perhaps, like I said, there's a bit more information that had we been given, we may have made a different decision. I'm in favor of strongly encouraging a modification because I feel confident that we'll be able to grant it.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose we can.
You can, there's a motion in your staff report to extend for the 5 years, which is for the operation of the excavation, and then giving a renewal for 1 year, which will give Ms. Bartlett time to get a modification plan before you.
And the motion that's
and
on the right, the motion that's on the table right now is to not require that it be blocked off at all. Are we able to do that without a modification?
We wouldn't have the easement documentation, which we do have for 2 and 8. So I think we need to get that documentation before us, have it go before the town attorney.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
The easements on Enterprise Lane were a condition of approval. They were submitted after the fact.
That's right, they were.
So this could be the same thing. You could make it a condition.
I mean, this could be
approval.
A condition of approval that we get the easements
right.
in place
right. yep.
to remove the permanent, you know.
It's a reasonable condition, and we could do it after.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And then we could still have another motion to give them the 5-year permit, and we'd have both problems
yep.
correct.
So you'll have to change up the way
types. Sounds like you're going to do the motion, Bill.
Well, we have a motion on the table, and that is to remove the requirement for the barrier without easement documentation, just as is.
Could we amend that motion to add the conditions of adding?
Would you like
that
to?
We would approve it with the condition the easements mm-hmm. get filed properly.
I would amend the motion to require the documentation.
Okay. You'll second that?
Second. Any further discussion? Doing double duty, so all right, we'll do a vote. Commissioner Longton.
In favor.
Commissioner Terry.
Favor.
Commissioner Pinas.
In favor.
Commissioner Kobluk.
In favor.
Commissioner Summers.
Favor.
And Chairperson Lundy, also in favor. Okay.
Thank you.
So the barrier is not required. Condition of approval is the easement documentation. Now there's also a motion, and I'm going to amend this on the fly. I'm going to read it into the record, but if someone could make it after I do so, that would be great. The motion is to approve the renewal of application number 24 site 3 for 1492 route 85 for 5 years in accordance with zoning regulation section 4.11.11.3.2.C to expire on July 9th, 2030. I think that's all we need, right? All previously approved conditions and modifications of 24 Site 3 shall remain in effect and shall be met. Calling that the motion. Would anyone like to make
it? So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Does the motion that we just approved negate this?
I don't believe so.
No.
So what is the process to negate a motion on the table?
This motion was for the 5-year extension for the actual operation of excavation and crushing and.
Right.
Okay.
The other motion was
yeah. Got rid of the 1-year extension of the barrier.
Okay, I thought that was okay.
Okay. All right, we'll do another roll call vote. Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Pinas?
In favor.
Commissioner Kobluk?
Favor.
Commissioner Summers?
Favor.
Chairperson Lundy, also in favor. The application is approved. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you very much. Not that I don't like coming here, but it's safe.
All right. It does not appear that the application's representative for 25 sub 2 is here yet.
We're going to do the zoning stuff first, but
okay.
I'm going to put it down before the
executive. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, next is the zoning enforcement officer report. Officer Radford?
Stacey Radford, zoning and wetlands officer for the record. This is the zoning and wetlands report for the period of April 22nd through May 26th, 2025. Total number of inquiries were 192. Total number of zoning permits open at the beginning of this reporting period were 407. There were 24 certificates of zoning compliance issued, 15 field inspections were completed, 25 new zoning permits were issued, leaving a total of open permits of 408. There was one new zoning complaint, one new zoning complaint, 11 current zoning complaints are ongoing. One zoning enforcement was closed. There were no new wetland enforcements. Two zoning complaints are still ongoing. One zoning complaint was closed. And Inland Wetlands had 6 applications. 4 were approved at our last meeting. 2 were tabled, and there were no new zoning or ZBA applications.
I know we've...
And a couple other items I just wanted to cover. When you look through the complaints, you may see there are still chicken complaints. Currently, for this reporting period, we received 3 complaints, 2 of which were handled directly by the complainant at my suggestion, either by talking to their neighbor or by contacting Uncas Health. The 3rd has become a violation. And then a couple other highlights. 231 Butler Town Road. Previous staff had approved a 35-foot by 80-foot steel building without planning and zoning approval as required, as it was located in an industrial zone. The applicant applied for a permit for an addition, and I denied that permit through the building department, asking that the applicant contact me. The building department approved and issued a building permit, still with my denial. And following discussion with the property owner, he agreed not to proceed with the second floor addition, which was the reason for my denial, was that it really needed to come in front of this commission prior to even being approved to begin with. But because it hadn't been, we spoke with him and he agreed not to proceed with the addition to the building. So the building will remain with no addition at this time. 91 Raymond Hill Road, the VFW was looking to make interior alterations to the facility, which appeared would be adding square footage, which in turn would change the parking calculations. And they wanted to do this without site plan approval. The mayor signed and notarized a statement from members of the VFW that they acknowledged that this area in question had always been utilized by the Boy Scouts, and therefore there was no change in actual square footage. So subsequently, no site plan will be presented. We've retained a copy of that letter or statement dated April 16, 2025 in the property file for future reference if necessary. 2268 and 2284 Route 32, the applicant has requested a modification to the off-site basin grading and drainage plan due to an area which has been determined to be not able to be disturbed in the northwest corner of the property. I believe this was through their financing that they determined that it could not be disturbed. So the applicant proposed to install a retaining wall around the surrounding area and subsequently requested a modification to the off-site basin. The plan was sent to the town engineer for his review, and he agreed that this modification would have no negative impact on the drainage design. So therefore, the modification was administratively approved. And finally, 245 Route 32, the applicant requested a final inspection for phase 1 of the previously approved 22-unit multifamily development. Meredith and I conducted the final inspection with the as-built, and there were several items which did not comply with the approved plan. I provided a copy of the inspection report and the as-built review list, both of which are part of your packets. The applicant and his surveyor have been made aware that we would not issue a certificate of zoning compliance until the items are corrected either physically in the field or via the submittal of a modification of the approved phasing plan. We did set up a meeting to meet with the property owner tomorrow to discuss the matter in more detail. Some of the items which were noted were not of huge importance, however, they were a modification from the approved plan, so I did note them on my review sheet. Few of the items definitely need to be corrected before I can issue a certificate of zoning compliance.
And we feel that the applicant should come before this commission. They made quite a few changes that they feel, he feels, were optional. So it was on his site plan. He showed it on his site plan, but he felt it was optional and he didn't need to do it. There are some things such as an at-grade patio and a sliding glass door that were on the site plan. He didn't put those in. Yes, we feel that that is a modification, but that needs to come before you. He had in his parking areas in front of the garage on the site plan, on the approved plan, he had pavers and he wound up paving. Again, not something that is a huge issue, but it's a change from the approved plan. We feel he needs a modification for that. There's some landscaping that he changed up. He changed the location of a dumpster. He changed the location of one of the parking spots. The three additional parking spots, he showed two to the north of the property. He now has three. He changed the location. We have a regulation stating they have to be 40 feet from the road line if they're going to back into the access area and not be off of that in its own parking lot. They are 25 feet from the property line. He changed the width of the access road. It should be, according to the approved plan, which had a turning radius on there for a FedEx-type truck. On the approved plan at the right-of-way, it was 28 feet wide. At the curb line at the road, it was 60 feet wide. That turning radius that you had approved showed that truck still going onto incoming traffic a little bit on the other side of the road. It's now 25 feet at the right-of-way, 35 feet at the street. So that truck is not going to be able to turn out of there. In our opinion, we're not engineers, but in our opinion, we have two gentlemen up here who probably would know how the truck could get out of there. So we feel he either needs to, he's going to have to correct that. That's not something that we can say that's fine. Several of the things as we talk to him, he keeps saying, I will fix in a later phase. He also moved the location, the approved location of phase one building by 6 feet. There was some issues with Eversource as far as he didn't realize he would not be able to get, only get a gang of 6 meters on a building. There's 6 condominium units. Now these are going to be condominium units, not apartments, so each one's going to be sold. He could only get 6 meters, therefore he could not have a meter for the common areas. So the parking lot lighting is solar versus going to be on at all times. There's no lighting on the buildings that was on the approved plan, so like the sides of the building and the back of the building, there's no common area lights for that because he does not have the electricity that can go there. So he kept telling us today that he wants to do that in phase four. That's a safety concern. We do have in our regulation that parking lots 15 or more spaces require lighting. The phase one has 15 spaces, but he keeps saying he wants to do this at the end of phase four, which could have a lot more parking. I feel feel that needs to be a modification that comes before you and is reviewed by the town. Also, his ENS control bond expired. It's a surety bond. It expired on October 15th, 2024. He told the mayor that he would have that to us today, and so far we do not have the renewal for that. We did get a letter from him, because we told him, just quickly looking at the as-built before we went through it all, we noticed that the building had been moved and some other things had been moved, and we said, this is going to affect your approved phase 2, 3, and 4. So he did agree that if we gave him a CCC, he would come back for a modification for 2, 3, and 4. He does not want to come back for a modification for phase 1, because he wants to close on these units that he has for sale and move on. And if he has to come before the commission next month, it will take too long. Stacy and I's opinion is we've made other applicants come before this commission when they have made changes that weren't approved along the way. We feel that this applicant also should have to come before the commission, and several of these are large changes. We just did it for 303 Route 32, so how do we make them come before you? He is going to come in tomorrow. Maybe we can work something out where he'll build everything according to the approved plan. But our recommendation is going to be anything that he can't, that he wants to make a modification.
Commissioner Phineas?
Of this punch list, you guys probably know this like the back of your hand. What things here are, like the building is 6 feet off a location, okay? How, is it beyond, over setbacks?
No,
okay, so it's within, it's thank God it's within setbacks. After you going through this list, you know, is there anything here that's going to require total demo and
no.
rebuild? I mean, are these?
He will most likely need to move those 3 parking spots.
Yeah.
What about the entrance?
The driveway part, to me, is the only thing.
The entrance needs to be modified to
correct.
Meet the plan.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a state high. That's part of his state highway permit.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, correct us if we're wrong, but from what we were told, DOT doesn't sign off on their final. You build it, and they don't sign off on their final until the very end. So the state, we had asked for a copy of the final permit for 303, and they told Stacy that they don't issue that until the very.
Well, they have an encroachment permit. Whoever installed that apron, if it's done, they should be able to get DOT to sign off on it.
303 was phased, and according to DOT, they haven't signed off.
They may require a bond.
So
he wants to fix the things that he can fix in phase 4?
Yes, that's what
he's
saying.
Phase 2. That's my suggestion. And he doesn't get a CZC for phase 2 until they're done.
I'm very much in favor of developers moving down the line and getting their projects done and getting them over the finish line. All day long, I support that. The concern is this is phase 1. This has taken a little bit of time. You know, and not that it can happen to this developer, but what happens in the phasing in the development world, some people never make it to phase 4. You know, that's
right.
Usually
that's our concern.
That's usually when the third owner is working on it. Yeah, not saying that's going to happen here, but that's the risk we'd be putting the town at by saying, oh yeah, just do these in phase four. Well, if he folds up camp after phase two or phase one, these will never get done. So
by the same token, if we refuse to give a CZC for phase one, he may never get to the other phases as well. If he doesn't make money.
We have the same concern. If we give him a CZC now, he's gonna sell those. He's gonna occupy
them.
You can't give a temporary CZC because you can't kick somebody out after they bought it and see their position. So if he doesn't do phase two, because you don't know, the market can crash.
So is his E&S bond in a surety, it's not in a cash bond?
Surety. Okay.
Okay.
And there is a very large hole that he's already dug for the second phase foundation.
Has he been issued any permits for phase two?
No.
Have we approved phase two?
Phase 1, 2, 3, and 4 are approved.
Approved by PNC.
But you can't now give them according to that approval because of the transformer issues and
well, yeah, and that's something else is, in order to do phase one, he should submit an as-built.
He did. We got the as-built.
With all of this, how does that affect the other phases?
Can you get him to bond for a value of what's not completed here and issue no further permits to phase two? I mean, is it safe to pull in and out of there, unless you're a FedEx truck?
We safely do. At 4:30 in the afternoon, when traffic stopped for us, they
yeah.
Us out.
Well, park anywhere. So, I don't think you can let him go to phase four. That's all I'm
right.
saying. I mean, I don't want to hold him up. Would love to see him move on, but I would think any of these repairs, changes, modifications should be bonded. So if he walks, you got the money to do it. The little things that he can correct, you should give him a 2-week timeline to get it done. And that would be just, these are my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
But he can't wait till phase four to.
Right.
The sun doesn't shine for 4 years. I'll have no lights in the parking lot. You know, and again, why will it become your problem when the phone rings 72 times that the common lights don't work?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it starts with you, it'll go to the mayor, and, you know, what are you people in Montville doing?
I do think allowing him to do it in phase two is generous of us. It helps encourage development. It doesn't slam him. So I would agree with Bill. If you bond for what's not done,
have his engineer present us with a bond.
Mm-hmm.
Have our engineer review the bond.
Yeah, you got to make sure you get a quality surety bond from, and that
you
bond and that bond can't be canceled. You know,
that's the thing with sureties. As you know, they expire in a year.
Tell them to put up a. Put up a passbook bond like an E&S bond and you hold the. No, I don't know. I'm just.
No, I think that's reasonable.
You know, if you want them that bad, do it or go fix it.
I would also make it very clear that we are being lenient on phase one. And this is a one time opportunity. This isn't going to happen in future phases.
And I would suggest when he comes in for modification for phase two, three, and four, the commission make it very that any change comes up. A lot of them we could have done administratively as we went along. There would have gotten to a point when there were so many that we wouldn't have felt that we could have continued to make them. We would have brought it before you.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stuff, had you come in, getting rid of the patios and getting rid of the sliding glass door, yeah, we would have approved that. You know, there's some parking areas that aren't the right size, so he has to fix that before. I think that's something that he has to leaves in there and they're hanging out into the access way.
I mean, I'd be in favor of the minutia being handled administratively. Okay, he showed pavers, he put asphalt, you know.
Regulation violations.
Noted on the as-built, thank you for letting us know. I don't think you need to come to the commission. That's just, again,
I would say for regulation violations, he should.
Yeah. And I would say anything that needs to be corrected, that he's bonding, gets corrected before there's
any
phase two compliance issue, right? He can't go to phase four.
Right.
No. I think what we've come up with is a good compromise.
I think so.
Yeah.
Joe, I have a question. That 6-gang
mm-hmm.
box, could he get like a temporary connection? You know, when you're on a job site, you have a temporary electrical connection. Would they do that for the parking lot lighting? Or?
No, because it's apartments. Each unit has to be metered separately.
So there's no way for him to get a temporary just for those.
Could he do a one-off house meter underground service?
Yeah.
For
that's well, that's what they should have done.
For the complex somewhere else.
That's
he could still do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to wait for phase two.
Yeah, he could have done a temporary service pedestal.
Yeah. Or
a permanent thing.
Permanent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they allow them permanently.
Yeah.
Eversource has a spec for a permanent standalone service.
Just
I mean,
that we know when we meet with them tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can get more than 6. It's just that as soon as you go over 6, the cost is horrendous for that equipment.
Yeah. They make them really expensive.
Yes.
Nope. So where there's a will, there's a way.
Yes.
Where there's a dollar, there's a way.
If he wants to move on, there's a way.
Yes. There's many ways.
Yeah, there's a way. He can put a service. Eversource will give him a loan, standalone service. Some pick it out in the open space somewhere. Again, it should be on the site plan where it's approved and in the proper location where, you know, it's protected by bollards. It's not going to get hit by traffic, et cetera, et cetera.
But, and he's going to need a temporary service anyways for other work on site.
Yeah.
He's got to have another service.
Somebody's condo to build the next building. Yeah, well, your cousin.
All right. Anything else?
That has to be an issue.
Yeah. We'll meet with them and see what we can come up with the plan for him.
You know, and I think a surety would be fine, providing you didn't have one now that already expired. It just, you know, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. Kind of lose your shot at it.
I think that's more than fair. Sarah?
I agree. Okay.
We'll let you go next one.
All right. Are we ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
For the land use director report, we have none. For other business, there's also none. For correspondence, we received correspondence from the CT Siting Council regarding petition number 1613, which is in regard to a request for temporary extended work hours at Hunts Brook Junction Reliability Project. What do we need to know?
You need to know what already happened.
Okay.
So this was a one-day extension of hours. They went before the Siting Council. Siting Council gave them work hours that they could have. They wanted an extension on Sunday, April 27th, to work from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. It was approved. It already happened. That's just their have to check the box and send it off to the town.
Okay.
We also received correspondence from the town of Preston. It's a CGS referral dated May 1st regarding a zoning text amendment number 2025-01 regarding accessory apartments, number 2025-2 regarding garage, yard, and cellar sales, number 2025-03 regarding home occupations, and number 2025-04 regarding as-built requirements and renewal timeline. Meredith, is there anything that would affect
us? I read through them all. I actually like some of their wording on their accessory dwelling units that when it comes up we might borrow, but it will not have any intermunicipal effect on Montville.
Would you suggest that we send a favorable report or just acknowledge that we received the correspondence?
Acknowledge that we received it.
Okay. We also received a notice of exemption modification for 71 Moxley Road to add 3 antennas and equipment as described in a letter from the Small Business Administration dated May 2nd, 2025. Again, this is an FYI situation, right?
They're intending to add 3 antennas at the 150-foot level along with removing certain equipment and replacing certain equipment and installing new. They listed it all out, but this again is all approved through the siting council. It already has a tower there, already has equipment there. I don't think it will have any effect on us.
Okay. The town also received an email from the Board of Examiners for PE and LS, so professional engineers and land surveyors. I believe you circulated this to us previously.
Sent it out. We spoke with several land surveyors as they were coming in for some pre-app meetings. We spoke with Ryan from CLA, who's our surveyor for the town. What's happening is people are taking surveyors and professional engineers' plans without their permission. They're hand drawing on them. They're overlaying them into PDFs and putting and saying, shed here, and not getting their permission, not getting payment that they should. We asked Ryan if we start making every applicant that comes in to put a 10x20 shed and say, you need to go get your land surveyed. Stacy's going to need protection living here at night because that's
what's going to put them up
a little over the top.
Right.
So we asked him what his opinion was as our land surveyor. We had our ideas. We now give them the GIS, which you all know is not for legal purposes. It can be off 5 to 10 feet. We'll give them that. Obviously, if the line's going through your house, we know it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And if they want to put it over there, we have to make them get a survey. But we feel if we give them that GIS, they draw on the GIS where they want it, and right at the top, I certify this is 10 feet off the property line, which is our regulation for a shed. That should be good because they've certified. Now, if they encroach on the neighbor's property and the neighbor gets a survey, it's on them to move it. Mm-hmm. If, as it is now, if somebody comes in for an addition or a garage, large garage, and they say, I want it right at the 10-foot mark on the property line, off the property line, we make them get a survey anyways because the GIS is not accurate.
Right.
If they say, we want it 20 feet off, you've got that 10 feet, so we feel comfortable with that. Ryan said it's going to be hard, this letter that they talk about in here, having a surveyor write a letter certifying that it's off the property line. He's like, it's going to be hard to find a surveyor who's going to go out there and do that without doing a survey. Because
mm-hmm.
how do they know where the line is? So he felt our compromise was a good compromise for the resident and for the land surveyors. We just wanted to run it by you to make sure that you all supported that same.
Any thoughts?
Well, I agree. That, you know, you can't require an A2 survey for a backyard shed. And if it's that close, they're at risk, they should get it surveyed. You're right, yeah.
And at the end of the day, if somebody did put it in and it had to be moved, there's people that come and move them. It's not like putting an addition on your house
right.
and having to demo the addition to your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be moved. We don't require a zoning permit for a fence, and that can be on your property line.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's you're at risk if you put it up and
mm-hmm.
the neighbor says, no, I just got it surveyed and you've encroached, then
mm-hmm.
you've got to move it. So I think if we have them certify that they're 10 feet off the property line, we're covering ourselves.
Right.
Well, I want to commend you for coming up with that solution. I think, I mean, we've been talking about compromise for the last 20 minutes, and I think that's a really good solution. Like you said, that's good for the resident, good for the town, good for the surveyor. So nicely done.
Took Stacey and I a little bit to think of it, but we got there.
I like that way of thinking. Good job. All right, the final piece of correspondence is a notice of proposed 1 megawatt MW AC solar photovoltaic array at 95 Old Colchester Road in Salem, Connecticut. And again, this is just an FYI, right?
I just want to let you know the letter came in the mail. In your packet, I attached like a Google overview so that people could see where it was. I believe it's the Gadboys Farm
right.
in Salem.
So this is going in the field? So this is going in the field and not the old gravel pit? I was thinking the old gravel pit.
The address is showing the house and
really?
The farm. But I don't know if across the street is also 95.
Yeah, okay.
But that's where it's showing it.
And they're informing us because it abuts Mottville.
Yeah.
It abuts Mottville. I mean, it's the same thing that we have going up at 958, 163.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About the same size.
All right, so we are going to circle back to old business item 8A, which is 25 sub 2, which is a modification of 22 sub 3 East Lake Road, which is 007-035-000 for an 8-lot subdivision. The owner applicant is Sunmar/RAF Builders LLC. This was continued from our last meeting. So we do have a representative of the applicant with us this evening. Whenever you're ready, feel free to make your presentation. If you could just state your name for the record once you're ready.
Thank you.
on July 26, 2022. They're proposing to move the drainage that's located on lot 7. They'll also be extinguishing the previously approved drainage easement, which we have those documents that were provided by the applicant's attorney and approved by our town attorney. The previous town attorney approved all of the easement documents when this was approved in 2022, so we had him review them since he was already aware of them. He has done that. He reviewed and approved the new drainage easement documents, as well as a certificate of title. Staff had a few comments which were all addressed. The only comment that staff has left as a recommendation that also the town engineer Kyle Hubbard also agreed with is that as a condition of approval that all drainage work be completed prior to the issuance of a zoning permit for lot 7, so they would need to do that drainage work before they could get a zoning permit. Kyle said that would be necessary as well to keep all of the water away from when they're building the house.
Do you know if the applicant is amenable to that?
The applicant, I did tell him when he was in. He hasn't said anything to me. Did he have any? There is a bond that would need to be in place. Seamus got us the bond amount that was approved by the town engineer. So I believe that the bond should be put in place and the drainage improvements done before we issue that
okay.
zoning permit for lot 7. And like I said, that is included in the conditions of approval.
Any questions from the commission for Mr. Moran or Meredith?
This drainage takes the runoff from the town road. Is that what happens here? So where it previously went, was there drainage easements or anything through there that the town had, or it was just one of these, that's where it goes?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was discharging onto the property. I believe it didn't have easement.
All right, so it got formalized, but then with the ledge.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yep.
All right, very good. Thank you.
So that will be extinguished via a quick thing?
Yep.
And then the new one. Obviously, we don't want something that's not on that side of the property.
Okay, thank you very much. There is a suggested motion for favorable approval in our packet. Just as with before, the conditions are already in the record published on the town's website, so no need to read those into the record. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Commissioner Pinillas.
Okay, make a motion to approve with conditions application 25 sub 2. For a modification to approved 8-lot subdivision, application number 2022 sub 3, approved on July 26, 2022, for East Lake Road, parcel ID 007-0035-000. In that application, supporting documents and plan set entitled subdivision modification, property address, East Lake Road and Fire Street, Montville, Connecticut, 06370, prepared for Sunmar RAF Builders, LLC, 285 Old Colchester Road, Uncasville, Connecticut, 06382, dated 3/28/25, revised 4/22/2025, comply with all applicable sections of the Montville Zoning Regulations and Subdivision Regulations. With standard conditions.
So move
1 through 10.
Thank you. So it's been first and seconded by Commissioner Summers.
Yes.
Any discussion? Okay, let's do a roll call vote. Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Pinillas?
In favor.
Commissioner Kobluk?
In favor.
Commissioner Summers?
Favor.
And Chairperson Lundy in favor. The application for modification is approved. Thank you very much.
Yay.
All right. Next item on the agenda is an executive session, of which we have none, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The motion, the meeting's adjourned. We're done.
Thank you.